Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Thursday, that means it's time to meet your maker. Joined with me in the studio today is my co-host John Taggart. Say hello, John.
Hey.
And Michael Klampfer. Say hello, Michael.
Hello.
Michael is the executive chef and vice president of the Mangalitsa Pig Program at Most Fun Farm, a state away in New Jersey. I actually know very little about Mangalitsa Pigs, so I'm excited to learn about them, except for the fact that they are delicious. I think people always talk about their sweet, creamy fat, that they are rare. Very few people raise them in the United States. They're from Austria. Please correct me anything I say is wrong. And they are much sought after and talked about, particularly by foodies, pork lovers, and chefs. So I guess I wanted to maybe start with, tell us a little bit about this animal and how you came to find it in the first place.
Okay. Mangalitsa pigs are originally from Austria, Hungary, developed sometime around 150 years ago, and they haven't been changed. Their genetics are very similar to the way they were then. About 20 years ago, there was about 200 left in the world.
In Europe?
Europe, not here. And one company brought them back to about 65,000, which they are in today. And if you think about it, we process about 170 million pigs in this country a year.
Most of them in one tiny place.
Like three tiny places. Yeah. So it's a very small amount. This year in the United States, there'll be about 700 processed. Very small amounts. We are the largest producer. We do about 10 a week. And they're just...
All year long, or seasonally?
All year long? All year.
Wow.
Yep, yeah. We just started doing weekly about 4 months ago.
Wow.
And they're just tasty, delicious, unctuous, fatty, rich, satisfying.
And I guess, so the story goes, you can fill in the blanks here. You were a private chef at Most Fun Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And for the owners.
Mm-hmm.
And you were looking for pigs just to raise for yourself?
Yes.
While you were there. And so, yeah. And when you say looking, is that like, I was traveling the globe to find the best pig, or how did you find this particular breed?
The first year we raised regular pink pigs like everybody else. Second year we raised Berkshires, which were a little bit better. And just trying to find something better, and came across the Mangalitsa in mid-2008, and they were just imported. The gentleman who imported them was based in Iowa, and he didn't really have any to sell us. We wanted a few, and then we did doing some more research, and we tasted some, and went over to Europe and ate them over there. Like, wow, these guys are really different. They're really tasty.
And can describe what you mean by really different and really tasty.
Fatty.
It's mostly the fat, or is it just flavor too?
It's rich red meat. They took a wild boar and they took a lard pig, you know, in the 1850s, and he created a pig with lots of fat and lots of rich red meat, like the boar has. Uh-huh. So you get full flavored meat. It's not the other white meat. It's the other.
I like that.
It's the other red meat. That's what we like to call it. It's the way pigs are supposed to be. That's the way they were.
Yeah.
And then the country started developing corn oil and soy oil and cottonseed oil, and they didn't need lard for cooking anymore. Right. And pigs like this fell out of favor.
What does the name Mangalitsa mean? Where does that come from? And it's got some other variations too, right?
Yeah, it has some different spellings, but originally it was Serbian for lots of fat.
Oh, God, that's awesome. I'm so glad that I know that now.
Serbia was one of, we think, the original birthplaces of the breed itself. That's what I heard. I don't speak Serbian, but that's what I was
actually
told.
Actually, there's someone who does, and I was just talking to her on the way here. I'm going to call her on my way back. Can these pigs, do they thrive anywhere in the United States, or is where the farm is in Jersey particularly suited for them?
They are a colder weather animal, unlike the black-footed pigs of Spain, where it's always hot, so they're hairless. Our pigs are woolly and full-coated, so they do okay in the summer. They kind of slow down. They don't do much. But once it gets chilly, they do great.
We gotta post a picture of one of them to Heritage Radio so people can see them, because they're like pot holders. I mean, I don't know, they're just like, they're really cute. I mean, I guess all pigs are actually pretty cute. But yeah. These guys are, they have an afro.
Yes, they do. Yeah. And our breeders, like our boars, are, you know, 500 pounds, and they got curls and curls and curls on each side, and it's
does anyone make, like, products like wool? Does anyone, like, do Mangalitsa pig, you know, mohair sweaters or something?
I've seen carpets.
Oh, really?
But you got to skin them. We don't skin them. When we process them, we leave the skin on. So you could. I've seen them.
That's cool. Okay, so you've now discovered the other red meat, and you're still at this point just wanting to make it, to cook them, raise them for yourself. Mm-hmm. Yourself.
Yeah.
So how did the world find out about this pork that you were raising?
Well, we started with a few, and we ate them and said, wow, this could actually be a business. They taste so different than what everyone else is eating. And the owner of the farm is, you know, he's old school. He's old. He remembers how pork used to taste when his grandma would cook it in a frying pan. The whole house would smell great. And he's like, this tastes like it used to.
Right.
So he said, well, let's buy more and we'll go into business. And
what did the farm do? How did the farm make it? Was it for some other purpose at that point?
We originally, horses, we still have them. And he bought a plot of land down the street, and it was empty. And that's when the pigs started. It was, you know, what are we going to put here?
Right.
It's empty. So we threw some pigs on it, and they're like bulldozers. They pull up all the rocks, they get rid of all the weeds.
Oh, that's
so they actually serve dual purpose. Now they're just destroyers.
Do you get to move them? You move them around. You actually probably have a pig farmer now too.
We have not many. Yeah, we have guys at the farm that take care of them.
So you, and then your role is to turn these pigs into delicious products beyond just cuts of pork, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
does your farm sell any of the product, or, you know, is it just a raising facility?
Oh no, we do. We do farmers markets. We have like 3 markets a week now.
But at your farm, could I roll up and buy?
Oh yeah, pork that'd actually be amazing.
As long as somebody's there. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome.
Actually, I guess the reason I was introduced in the first place is because there's some pig stock, or what is it called?
Pig stock.
And
yeah.
People come out to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know anything other than that Jimmy Carboni, another co-host here, was there and said I had to talk to you.
Yeah.
So do people, what is it, just a celebration of eating this pig, or is it you people learning something too?
To me it's learning. we do a 3-day class. It's over a 3-day weekend, and we show you from start to finish. And it's all hands-on, so you can actually learn how we slaughter the animal and then get the hair off, harvest the organs, butchering, sausage, head cheese, blood sausage, you know, start to tail.
Had you been making all of those things previously? So
never.
You had to learn how to do all this.
Yeah.
And how much of what you do is now, what is there, like a word, added value meat product? What's the word for it? It's charcuterie or salumi, but it's more than that.
A little bit. We have a very small room, probably about the size of this, that we hang some products for sale, but not much. But most of it's fresh meat to restaurants here in the city.
And I have two questions. One is, how is cooking with this product different? Do you have to approach it differently than the way you used to cook regular pork, not so fatty pork?
A little bit. You know, if you're grilling it, obviously, you know, with larger amounts of fat, you get flare up. So I sort of prefer, you know, like a cast iron, get a nice crust, because you can get a crust on the fat too. So it comes out great. So you know, a little bit, you know, cook it a little slower, not so fast. It doesn't shrink like regular most pork does. We grow them very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So you get, they're growing up instead of filling up, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You have a pig, our pigs are 13, 14 months when we harvest them, where most are 5 or 6. So
on commercial,
yeah, that's always them. Yeah, that's commercial stuff. So it's just, you know, they're filling them up as fast as they can to get to the weight faster, but they're filling it up with mostly water. So when you cook them, they kind of shrink. Where our stuff, you know, you lose fat, but it doesn't shrink that much.
What's your other question?
Oh well, I was gonna ask how, as doing salumi charcuterie, whichever language you want to call it, how does this pork also require a different technique or approach because of it. It has so much fat. Like when you're making sausage or like if you had to kind of tweak these recipes to the pig that you're working with.
Less added fat, you know, usually people say, you know, 80-20, where for ours we got to do like 90-10 because there's a lot of fat in the meat. So you, in the meat itself.
Intermuscular.
Yeah. So you got to bring it out a little bit for like a fresh sausage, but for cured stuff, usually we grind just the meat itself and then we add cubes of fat to you know, fatten it up a little bit because there's so much fat in the meat to begin with that there's not much that you need to add.
I had a question. What do you feed these pigs?
Our pigs are on a barley-based diet. They get corn and soy when they're babies, up until about 70 pounds, just to give them a good jump start. And then we lower that or take it out, and then it's a barley and wheat-based diet. So you get a fat that's actually high in monounsaturated fat compared to corn and soy, which is polysaturated.
Do they graze, too, or do they go out and eat whatever the hell is in the ground?
Anything they want.
Mm-hmm. And you have to kind of... You shift them from plot to plot and let it regrow. Or
we try, they destroy it. You know.
Do you have a lot of out in Jersey? Do you have a lot of restaurants that buy your product?
Mostly here in the city, actually. Yeah, we have a couple in New Jersey, but mostly here in the city.
It's here at Roberta's, right, where this show takes place.
Yes. I think we're about to get a pizza with his pork.
Was it pizza? Or I can't remember what it was.
I think it's the collar steak.
Yes. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
The collar is the eye of the shoulder. It's the continuation of the loin up until the shoulder. It's what they make copa with.
That's what's coming on our pizza.
No, it's not. I think it's just an appetizer.
No, it's like a pizza.
Oh, it's a pizza? Yes.
It's
a pizza. That's very exciting.
Oh, it's maybe his copa, because he buys meat and he makes his own copa here.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
So tell us where we can find it in New York City or anywhere. People can probably order it online.
Yep. We have a website that, you know, you can order from. We do the New Amsterdam Farmers Market at South Street Seaport on Sundays.
And you're next to Scott. Doesn't he use some of your product?
Yep.
And we interviewed him here before.
Yeah.
And his sausages.
I would prefer taking a drive to Jersey and seeing this farm because.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean.
Absolutely.
How far out are you?
From here, almost 2 hours probably. 2 hours.
So you're South Jersey then?
Oh, no, all the way north.
Oh, you're all the way north. Okay.
All the way north. We're 5 minutes from PA, 5 minutes from New York.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty rural.
Yeah.
Rural.
Very rural.
So what is your background? Where did you grow up? Where did you go? Where did you learn to become a chef? And how did you end up on a farm? And how did you end up on a farm where you're essentially raising pigs at this point?
I'm a CIA graduate, so I'm a chef by trade, and I wanted to leave the hustle and bustle of the restaurant, so I...
Where did you go to school?
CIA.
CIA, yeah.
Which is actually not very far. You thought it was actually, like, in the CIA.
Yeah.
That's funny. Ooh, but which isn't that far from where you are, actually.
An hour and a half, yeah.
To me, everything up there is, like, all one big mat. I'm teasing. But, so you want to leave the hustle and bustle of working in an actual restaurant.
Yeah, so decided to just, you know, step back and... And I got lucky and I found this guy that loves food and he loves local food and good food. So I was cooking for him for 2 years before we even started the pig stuff.
What does he do for a living?
He's a banker.
It's the guy who owns Most Fun Farm. These are all just little hobbies of his.
It's not a hobby anymore. Now his goal is really to produce the best pigs and the best product we can. Yeah. So, you know, it's more than that. He's in love with the jamón from Spain, and that's his ultimate goal is to produce, you know, the best ham he can. In the meantime, I got to sell the other parts. You know.
So we're actually going to take a quick break, and when we come back to Meet Your Maker, we're going to talk about the ham and the other parts. Meet Your Maker, Heritage Radio.
Tell you how Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Welcome back to Meet Your Maker. I'm Rachel Wharton, your host. I'm here with John Taggart, my co-host, and Michael Klamfer, who is the executive chef and vice president of the Mangalitsa Pig Program at Most Fun Farm in New Jersey. And we actually just got some of this amazing pork delivered right in front of us, made here at Roberta's. And earlier he was talking about how it's not the other white meat, it's the other red meat. And which I thought was funny, but now it's sitting in front of me. You would totally think that this was flank steak, and even tasting it, you said that they probably hung it a little bit, so it's got some age and some funk maybe. Mm-hmm. But it even tastes like beef. It's utterly delicious, and they serve it here with seared okra, what looks like candied cantaloupe. I haven't tasted that yet. It's amazing. Really delicious.
It's a great dish.
Which makes me even more curious about. You're already. We were talking before about how your boss, your patron, he wants to. Ham is now what he's obsessed with making with these pigs.
Yeah.
You've made some? Are you selling them already?
No, not yet.
What does this taste like? That must be mind blowing.
It's really good.
Yeah.
The fat protects the meat. It keeps all the flavor in, but it just intensifies. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had like 3-year-old Mangalitsa ham in there.
I don't think I can eat a regular pork chop ever again.
Seriously. I've ruined you.
I mean, it's like saying it tastes like beef is, it's not even the right way to describe it, because beef and pork have their own amazing flavors. This is like something that's of its own.
No. Rich, full flavored, a little bit on the porky side, but you know, it's a little beefy, you know. Mm-hmm. This particular cut is, yeah, absolutely.
So where in Austria or Serbia, wherever this originally came from, do they traditionally make hams from it?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And is there a particular technique that they use, or like what is it spiced with, or is it bone in, or how do they usually do it? Probably all the above.
Yeah, it depends on where you go. Most of the time it's smoked in Austria, Germany.
Like Speck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it would be, you know, like bone-in speck, where speck would be cured for 5 or 6 months, or aged 5 or 6 months. This a ham would go 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
You know, easily. Because the bone-in, it takes a lot longer to lose moisture and stuff, but...
So it's a little bit like prosciutto, iberico.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Does it... So, traditionally, how is its flavor is different because of maybe the seasoning they use, or just the way the pork is?
It's just a good quality pork, you know. Prosciutto is... salt and pork, you know, and jamón is salt and pork. Jamón. So that's it. You know, it depends on the pork, you know.
And the microflora in the air of those places probably too, right?
Has something to do with it, absolutely, yeah.
So what is your the guy who owns Most Fun Farm, he wants to recreate jamón with this pork. So where are you in the process?
Like ham, like 4.0.
4.0?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds high up there, right?
Yeah.
Where is 10? Is 10 the goal?
Hopefully we got it down pat by 10. Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah. I guess because you have to let it age for So it's like then you have you don't get to really see what you've done for like 2 or 3 years.
The results, yeah.
It's like making any spirit, any like aged spirit. You have to wait 18 years before you can tell if what you did was okay.
And then 3 years later, like, no, it's wrong. So we got to start again. So,
and you were saying that's what he's doing. That's his obsession. And you're responsible for the other bits.
Yeah, the bellies and the loins and the collars and the shoulders. And, you know,
another bite.
The belly, we're making like pancetta and guanciale with the jowls, copas with the neck. So that's
I have a question. What about barbecue? I mean, do you sell a lot of this to people who do smoking? How is this? Like
a little bit. You know, it is very fatty. It's delicious. You get flame up.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's not a grilling pork, you're saying.
Wait,
a little bit. This cut is.
Oh my god, this cantaloupe. Okay, sorry. I know you can't taste any of this, but
this cut is really good. The collar is. It's great for grilling. I grill it all the time cuz it's got a lot of intermuscular fat, but like with the chop, you get a lot of external fat, so you kind of end up with a little flare up. So, this one I would totally do on the grill, and I do, you know, once or twice a week cuz I have an unlimited supply, but
we actually had a guy on here a couple of weeks ago who makes these really amazing stainless steel grills called Grillery or Grillworks, and they're based on an Argentinian design, and I'm telling you this because you guys should invest in one for the farm because they use this in V channel, which is what they do in Argentina, so they can cook directly over the wood or coals that you've made, and it doesn't cause flare-ups because all the fat is then channeled down to this dripping to this pan where you can then baste the meat with it or just use it for, you know, slathering over various vegetables.
Yeah,
a
lot of restaurants have these grills now, especially around Brooklyn and Manhattan.
But because they have one at Raynard's and the Wyeth Hotel, you can see it. So you can see how, so it's like perfect. If you grill a lot at the farm, it'd be worth investing for because it's designed, like it would solve the fat flare-up problem. You should look into this.
That's good.
And they're also beautiful.
Yeah.
But
that's good.
So there's a guy in, he may even use your pork at a restaurant called Ox in Portland, Oregon. But he cooks all these different parts of animals, and he collects it all in this little bin. He calls it grill gold. But I bet the Mangalitsa pig would make some amazing grill gold.
Yeah, I save any drippings I get from bacon or anything. It's saved. God. Absolutely, veggies.
I would buy that.
It's the only way I get my kids to eat broccoli.
Really? Oh,
I roast it in the oven with some sliced garlic and lard on it, and I roast it, and it comes out nice and crunchy, and it sopped up all the lard.
What's your? Do you have a stock fridge? You just have like a freezer dedicated for stock?
Pork stock.
Pork stock's great. Yeah.
Do you sell any of that stuff?
Not yet.
You'd have to have a kitchen.
Tough,
that
yeah.
So can people can't come eat at Most Fun Farm?
No, we don't have a restaurant. We don't have a restaurant.
But you could have.
I wish we did.
I
would love it.
But I feel like that's like a natural step where people could come taste this and have you prepare it in like all these millions of different ways.
It's a farm, Rachel. You have a lot of stuff running around.
But like, what good locavore Brooklynite doesn't want to go to a farm and eat? You know?
And say, I want that one there.
Yeah, well, like it's a lobster tank. It'd be more like you could, on your farm, I could taste all the different ways and pieces that you prepare in all these different forms where it's like it's really hard unless you're having like a pork tasting menu at a restaurant or at home, you know, you buy your pork chops.
This stuff is evil.
No, it's not evil.
It's so good.
It's heavenly.
It's good. It's real good.
What else do you do with the other bits? Like you said sausage.
Yeah, you know, sausage, you know,
pancetta. I'm chewing.
Pancetta, guanciale, lardo, which is almost you have to. You know, when you have a pork chop that's, you know, 2 inches of meat and then 3 inches of fat, you know.
Are you allowed to call it lardo?
Yeah.
I guess it's only DOC or whatever if it's from Di Colonnata or something.
Yeah. We actually make a lardo di Colonnata with that flavor profile.
I'm still chewing. How do you, oh my God, I can't even imagine what that must be like. Where can I buy that?
It's good.
Can I buy that at New Amsterdam?
Shh.
Not yet.
So let me know, and I'll put it in the side.
It's basically like cured fat, and you put it in like a, it's a like a granite basin.
No, we use plastic.
Plastic. I think they do. And I was just reading. I actually was reading an Art of Eating article about lardo, and I think even in Italy now they're using plastic. Yeah. And
traditionally, that's the way they do it.
And of course, it would have to be stone dug up from the mountains in the region of Italy.
The way it used to be. You know, that's the way it was. You know, they filled it with salt.
How about England? Was this pig popular in England or
they have some in England. There's not many. But like I said, there's only 65,000 in the world, and there's 55,000 in Hungary. Right. So, you talk about, Austria, Germany, Italy, UK here, you got another 10,000.
Were you the first farm to raise them here?
No. We there was another gentleman in Iowa that originally...
Oh, where you tasted it the first time.
That he brought them in himself in 2007, and then we bought our stock from him.
And now you're breeding your own.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Have you sold them to other farmers?
Yeah. We sell some,
You're repopulating the species.
We exported some to Canada, to two guys up in Canada that wanted to do it, because getting meat over the border is really tough. So, so was pigs, but, right.
But you don't do overseas, you just do, Canada.
Otherwise, I guess you'd have to put those little piggies on, a shipping container, and it'd be like an episode of The Wire.
Yeah.
Where you'd find them in the back.
Dog crates. We have a guy in Hawaii that wants them, and he bought some dog crates, and he's going to fly over and put them on the dog crates and then put them on the plane. It's legal. You're allowed to do it.
Yeah, you are.
Delta.
Yeah,
exactly. Have you done it with a pig?
I didn't do it, but I have a customer that is.
Now, I mean, pigs are not your life. I mean, right? So you know probably a lot about the farm, how raising them, farming them, keeping them, caring for them.
Yeah.
Did you ever, was any part of your training at CIA geared towards, especially when you went, I bet things are very different in culinary school, even in the past 2 years, about their approach to source. But I mean, probably nothing prepared you.
I had no idea. No idea. Never thought I would ever get to raising pigs, but it's fun, and it's good. And when you believe in a product like I do, it's really tasty. You guys are eating it.
Yes, it's delicious.
There's none left. it's
one piece,
super delicious.
One and a half pieces.
It is super delicious.
Have you thought about it? You're stopping with this furry little pig, furry big pig. Have you thought about sourcing other delectable species of other animals at all?
Once we got this one figured out, then maybe we...
What's your second thing besides pork would you like?
There's these chickens in Austria called...
I was just going to say.
Zuntaler.
Zuntaler.
They take 12 months to grow.
Really?
And they're only like 5 pounds, but they are so delicious. I had one when I was over there, and it was just like... He sells them for like $80 each. For like one roast chicken to throw in the oven, it was $80.
And people are buying them?
Yeah, because they're so delicious. It was ridiculous. Zuntaler.
You could be the go-to Austrian protein supplier. Have Austrians come and track you down?
I bring Austrians over to teach the class at the farm.
Oh, right. I remember reading about that.
Yeah, they come over. My friends that I've spent time with over there.
That's amazing.
They come over.
That's so cool.
And teach that class. It's fun. And the food over there is unbelievable. The wine and they do farming and it's great.
Have you taken part in an Austrian dinner?
Yeah.
Or your pork is like paired with, I bet so. That'd be really good.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. They artichokes and caraway. They eat full flavored food and rich food, but they cut it with, schnapps.
Yes. Is that really cutting something?
I don't know. Covering up? I don't know. But artichokes and mushrooms and caraway, which, help with the digestion of a rich product like this. So,
all those things do okay in New Jersey, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Yeah. The pigs do great in New Jersey. The climate's very similar to Austria and Hungary. Yeah.
So you might even be able to grow the wine. I guess there is. Not too far.
No, we have a winery
very close by.
It's okay.
But and in the Finger Lakes, there's some wines that would probably...
That's not close by.
Well, that's like what I said earlier. I was kidding, but apparently it's true.
It's like 3 hours.
You're right. You're right. Not quite food shed. But anyway, we're running out of time, and this pig is getting cold. So we've got to eat it. But thank you so much for coming on.
Everybody, thanks for having me.
Just tell everybody one more time, for those who are listening in New York City, where they could go buy... A pork collar or a pork chop tonight, if they wanted.
Well, tonight, I don't know about tonight, but every Sunday at New Amsterdam Market, we sell to Roberta's, Mork Fargione, Aquavit, Veritas are some of our best customers that we deliver to weekly. They always have it on their menu.
But to get it, to actually take it home and cook with it, New Amsterdam.
Or online. Sundays. Or online from our website. Yep, cool. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much again. This has been Meet Your Maker on heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.